Hello, and welcome to the Book Smarts podcast, where we talk about publishing data and technologies and send you away with some insights that will help you sell more books. I'm your host, Joshua Talent. This week on the Book Smarts podcast, we're chatting with Miriam Warren. Miriam is a director at the Fisher Company, which provides international mergers and acquisition services for print and digital publishing, media, and technology sectors. Miriam, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Joshua.
So I'd like to start off just a little bit talking about kind of your background. What is your background in publishing? Because you've been around the publishing industry for a long time, been very involved. So what have you done in the publishing world over your career?
Sure. So I've been in publishing for most of my life, really, as far as a professional career, mainly about 25 years. So I have worked in trade publishing, academic publishing. I worked for Fisher Books in nonfiction, a lot of health and medical titles, business strategy. I also worked at the University of Arizona Press in the academic space for more than 10 years, really mainly handling their production and integrating with the distributor. And then I also worked at Western National Parks Association as their publications manager, as far as managing the trail guides and other information about the parks that are sold to tourists. So I've been with the Fisher Company now for about 5 years, and all of that background has definitely been a help as each project is unique.
Yeah, I bet. So tell us a little bit about what the Fisher Company does and obviously how that background comes into play.
Sure. So the Fisher Company, our main purpose as far as our services go is we provide mergers and acquisitions services in addition to business consulting. And for the most part, what we do is we help publishers who are ready to sell their companies. We help them find a buyer for their company.
And that's obviously it happens a lot. You know, there's a lot of mergers that happen in the publishing world and acquisitions, as we saw with Simon & Schuster not too long ago. So that's a pretty interesting part of the industry when you think about how many publishers are founded over the years and then need to find the next step and maybe get the backing they need to move on to the next level. Or in some ways we get to the end of a career. Someone starts a publishing company and then they get to the end of their career and they're ready to kind of move on and retire. And so what do you do next? So I imagine that's a really helpful part of the kind of keeping publishing running as an industry.
It is. And there have been a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of kind of negative thoughts towards mergers and acquisitions in publishing, that it's fairly predatory. However, the majority of people we work with are people that are willing sellers. They're not being hunted down. They're not being taken advantage of. So these are companies that are looking to move on to another level, or as you said, looking to retire if it's an independent owner, which is often the case. And so we are in touch with as many publishers as we can, both in the US, North America, and internationally, to find the best matches that we can.
That's great. So tell us a little bit about how the mergers and acquisitions process works.
When we start mergers and acquisitions with a new client, it's often about 3 to 4 years before we actually work with them. It is a very long sales process. It can be even longer. There are clients that we've been speaking with and checking in with for up to 10 years. Every year, how's it going? What do you need? Providing a little bit of guidance for their next steps. So when a company decides to sell and they want us to represent them as their broker and as an advisor, what we do is we have several preliminary calls. We want to make sure that there's a good understanding of, first of all, how we as the Fisher Company operate, and also how that specific publishing company is running, what their products are, what the audience is, and really what their goals are in selling. whether it's to raise more capital for getting the company to the next level, or if it's really selling off a piece of it. But there are a variety of reasons. And I can't stress enough that every single publishing company is unique. The more we get into this, the more it surprises me. But that's what we keep finding. So, several preliminary calls, making sure that there's an understanding. Obviously, we want to talk through valuations so that there is a mutual agreement that this is how much we think your company is worth, and this is what we believe we can get for you on the market. So from there, we will enter into an advisory services agreement. We generally charge a retainer in addition to a transaction fee. And these are all customized to the specific publisher as far as the revenues, the percentages, the profitability. Again, everything is unique. And for smaller publishers that have lower revenues, we will enter into a consulting agreement to help them that way as far as making it more cost effective for the publisher. We don't want them to lose all of their potential profit by paying us. That's not helpful for anybody. So once we enter into an agreement with our client, we go through another data gathering period of time, and we put together a summary of the company so that we can present that to prospects. So we'll put together kind of a one-page overview of your history, what your strengths are, what your revenues are, what your facilities are and your staff, and obviously what the acquisition benefits would be to a potential buyer. And from there, we review potential prospects with our clients. We do not, unless we have permission to contact anybody and everybody we want, which is rare, we do not do that. This is in consultation with approval from the client as far as these are the buyers that we believe would be a good match, and this is who we want to start with. So from there, we begin speaking with potential prospects, sign non-disclosure agreements, make sure that everything is confidential, of course. And then once we have further interest, we invite prospects into an online data room, which is populated with marketing information, sales, financials, legal operations, copyright, contracts, etc. A variety of files that the prospect will need to fulfill their due diligence. So after we have interest and we're into the data room, it really begins kind of it can be short, but often a little bit longer cycle of Q&A between both the seller and a prospective buyer. Obviously, the buyer is going to have a lot of questions for the seller. The seller should also be asking questions of the buyer to ensure that the buyer is a good match for them. It can work both ways. We want it to be a win-win situation in every single occasion that we can. So that process can take several weeks. It can take several months. And once we have enough information to a prospective buyer and they are interested, then they will send over a letter of intent. It's also called a heads of agreement, which outlines what their intent is to purchase the company, whether it's a share sale or an asset sale, and then the financial details and the structure of the deal. And from then, it's another period of due diligence through to working on closing documents. And that can, again, take anywhere from several weeks to several months before closing. And then after closing, we still stay in touch with our clients. We want to make sure that they are receiving what they expected out of the deal and that everything is moving along well with transition. So in a nutshell, that is how how the process works.
Yeah, that's great. So talk to me a little bit about where things are going, the trends that you're seeing in the M&A space and publishing. What's happening, you know, we're getting to this interesting kind of point. We've had the pandemic, we've had other things that have happened, and we've even seen kind of getting almost to the end of a generation in some ways, in kind of how publishing, as you know, people are getting to that point and starting to look for the next step. So talk to me about what you're seeing and any opportunities that you're thinking. If someone's in that space now and they're thinking about, I want to maybe sell, or maybe I want to be looking to acquire, what should they be thinking about, and where are the trends happening right now?
So increasingly, and this has been building for several years, but increasingly, as publishing has become more digital, as we've become more remote and able to speak with each other, international acquisitions is continuing to rise. So even if your company is in the U.S. and potentially your titles are focused on the U.S., there may be a publisher from France or from another country that's interested in establishing a United States platform company. So that is something that we really try to keep in mind as far as discussing with our clients. You know, is for looking for similarities in genres and in formats and in culture of the business, mm-hmm. Is really important. So another trend that we are seeing is there's a longer period of due diligence up front before we are seeing offers presented to companies. So what we're seeing as far as that's concerned is that companies, the buyers, are specifically wanting to take more time and review files much more in depth prior to an offer than post-offer. So then we're also seeing that there's less time between an offer and the closing, if possible. So we're seeing that that shift in the timeline in the process. We are also seeing that more and more offers are made based on profitability levels versus revenue levels. And that is a shift that has been going on for a few years as well. I think it's really starting now, again, as we're seeing this change in generations of publishing. We're having more people come into the development and strategy positions that weren't originally in publishing. So we're seeing, I think, a little bit of a crackdown on really what the ROI is on purchasing a company, and it's really interesting to see. So we're seeing some really original and again unique offer structures that we haven't seen before. Often there's lower amounts on the down, and then a higher earnout, and that's just one example.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think it's interesting as well that the valuations are moving toward more about profitability levels, and I wonder what that indicates as far as the types of people who are, you know, purchasing publishing assets now, or kind of where the industry is headed.
Right, and that's also reflecting the change in wanting to have a lot of inventory on hand. So whereas a few years ago, well, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, inventory really held a lot more, physical inventory held more value than it does today. So majority of distributors don't want more than 1 to 2 years worth of stock. So again, it's you're investing in the profitability of the company and the actual, the IP more than the physical product than we were before.
That's great. Well, Miriam, I appreciate your time. Let's talk a little bit about how people can be in touch with you and what they need to be thinking about as far as next steps, or what they should be looking for in the next couple of years in the M&A space.
Well, there are a number of ways that you can reach out to us as a broker and also other brokers and consultants in the space. Like I said, this is a very long process. So even if you're not thinking about selling your company now, if you're thinking about possibly selling in the next 5 years, it's worth meeting with a consultant or an advisor just to kind of get a heads up on where you're at and what you might need to start working on. So we're seeing more and more publishers that have their contracts digitized because that is a requirement. We're not shipping boxes of physical contracts around between sellers and prospects anymore. Everything needs to be archived digitally and available. So if that's something, if you're a publisher that's been around for a while and you have some historical documents that need to be digitized, it's great to go ahead and do that if you haven't already done that. Another piece that we see often is that the author contracts are not assignable to a new buyer. And so before you go into a selling process, you really want to get a handle on all of your author contracts and find out which ones will easily transfer. And those are a couple of items, and there are plenty more. So again, reach out to advisors, consultants. Most of us really aren't trying to pitch anything the first time we meet. I don't like having to pitch somebody the first time I meet them. It's better to just become acquainted with those of us that are in the industry and figure out who might be a personality match for you and who's going to work best.
That's great. Well, thank you for your time today, Miriam. I really appreciate it. We'll put some links in the show notes where people can reach out to you directly. And I appreciate you joining the BookSmarts podcast today.
Thank you so much.
That's it for this episode of the BookSmarts podcast. If you like what you've heard, please leave a review or rating in Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to the podcast. And also, please share the podcast with your colleagues. If you have topic suggestions or feedback about the show, you can email me at joshua@firebrandtech.com. Thanks for joining me and getting smarter about your books.